I think you already know that I'm glad to see you here, but I want to tell you that anyway, because I think a lot of times we as Christians assume somebody knows what we're going to tell them, so why tell them again? Well, you know what? You never get tired of somebody saying, I love you, do you? We never get tired of that, so why not? Let each other know that we love each other, that we love being together, that we value the fellowship of each other, and just that we're missed when we're not there. I want to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews again. I've been reading a lot in Hebrews and studying, and that's where my mind continues to be. Hebrews chapter number 4. I've read the first three verses in your hearing. Focus verse today will be verse number 2, and I'll read that verse again in just a moment. But while you're turning, I'll say this, that I love the book of Hebrews, and I think the older I get and the more I read it, the more I love and appreciate it. Because as I perceive it, God inspired it to be written to Hebrew or Jewish Christians. Jesus sent his apostles or disciples out to preach first to the Jews. Many of them didn't want to hear what was preached, but some did. And so throughout the ages, this book has become a book valued and loved by not just Jewish Christians, but us Gentiles who have been made Jews in a spiritual sense through Jesus Christ our Lord. So today I'm going to be sharing with you some thoughts from the second verse. And I want to ask a question. Almost 10 years ago, I used this verse, the basis for a sermon. Anybody remember what I preached? I don't either. In fact, if I hadn't have had my study notes and records of what I preached, I wouldn't have had any idea what I preached. But I went back and looked, because I don't want to be too repetitious, although some things need repetition. It's a method of teaching. But I don't want to be too repetitious. And so I wanted to know, I didn't want to just go back and preach the same sermon again. You probably wouldn't have remembered it. I wouldn't have. And yet I didn't want to do that, because as the Lord brought me to this, I've had some totally different thoughts about it. And so this sermon today is different from that sermon at that time, but it's what the Lord has brought to my heart and mind to share with you today. So I read this verse in your hearing again. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is The Bible and Faith. And that's the basis of what I want to talk to you and preach to you about today, is the idea of the Bible as God's holy and inspired word and the faith that is in our heart. Because that's what I understand the writer of this Hebrew letter is saying, that the gospel was preached. There it is. The Bible is being proclaimed. And it was preached really to Jews and Gentiles, but there were some that it did not really benefit, it did not profit them, and the reason expressed here was that the Word of God was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we're dealing with two subjects here, plurality of subjects. We're dealing with the idea of the Bible being preached, the Word of God being proclaimed, and being received by those who have faith in their hearts. And that's you, I trust, and me. Let us look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear God, our eternal Father, I do thank you for loving us. The Bible has reminded us that we love you because you first loved us. And so we thank you for that eternal love you've given. Your love is unwavering. Sometimes our love is questionable, to say the least. Sometimes as people look on Christians, they are not really sure whether we genuinely love you or if it's just our words and terminology that we express from our lips. But help us, Lord, through your holy word, to know how to live a life
that no one will doubt our love for you. They will know that we love you by the way that we live, and they will know that faith dwells in our hearts because we live out your word day by day in our lives. Help me now to preach your word as it was preached. So may it be preached today and preached until Jesus comes again. And bless it to the hearts of your children who are here. Lord, help us all to understand by the power of your Holy Spirit, implant your truth within our hearts and minds, and help us to live it each day. Many need our prayers, but you know each name and each need, and I just beg you to bless them, Lord, as only you can. Lord, if we were to call every need that we knew or could recall of anyone, any place, anywhere that we knew had a need, there'd be no time left for the preaching of the word. So we just knowing that you know all of your children by name and by need, we beg your blessings upon them and upon us. Open your word to our understanding, our eyes of understanding to see you in your power and your glory, and the glory of Christ our Lord who died and saved us from our sins. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
It is my understanding from this particular verse of Scripture that as it mentions the fact that the gospel was preached, it says, apparently some got blessings out of it, but some did not. Some did not benefit from the preaching of the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that to be true in our day and time? Sometimes within the congregation itself, you know, the Word of God is proclaimed, the same sermon is preached to everybody in the house of God, and yet there are some who are just blessed and lifted up, and there are some who seemingly just rolled off their backs. You ever notice that? Sometimes maybe you as an individual might enjoy a sermon more one day than another day. Maybe what I preached just didn't seem to really minister to your need, to your heart, and you kind of went home feeling a little empty, saying, well, Brother Bill didn't preach too well today. And then on another occasion, maybe I kind of stumbled my way through it, and yet God blessed it, and your heart was filled, and you rejoiced. Well, it's still that way, brothers and sisters. There's always going to be times, and this is page 192. I forgot to tell you that in the Pew Bible. 192, Hebrews 4, verse 2. But I want to tell you that when the Word of God is preached, sometimes it benefits in one way and sometimes to one person and then to another. But there are times when it is preached to no avail, that people don't seem to get anything out of it. And I'm convinced, as it's expressed here, that it's because faith has not been used. So there are three things that I'm going to tell you today, and some of them might help us to understand the way things are and why they are that way in the world we're living in today. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that there are some people who do not possess faith. Are you aware of that already? I think if you look around in the world, if you look at the people that you come in contact with, you're going to understand that there are some people who just don't see things the way you do. Have you encountered that? You know, I can get happy in the thought that God created this vast universe, and there are some people out there don't believe a word of it. I can preach that there is a God in heaven above and in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. There's some people don't believe a word of it. I can preach to you that God created the world, all this vast universe. There are people who don't believe a word of it. I can preach to you that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, but some folks won't have it. I can talk about his sacrificial death and his resurrection and the power of God in it, and that some people won't believe a single word that I've said. There are people that way in the world. There are people who do believe the Word of God by faith, and there are people who do not believe the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you why. They don't have any faith in their heart. If you don't have faith in your heart, this book is meaningless to you. I mean, I'm speaking to you as those who have faith, but just saying that if a person doesn't have faith in their heart, the Word of God is meaningless to them. It's empty. It has nothing that they can get out of it. Because if they don't have faith in God, They won't have faith in the Word of God. And if they don't have faith in their heart toward the Word of God, they're not going to believe what is preached. So there are two questions asked in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. By the way, that's a beautiful messianic chapter there, and it talks about Jesus and how He died for our sins and all of that. But it begins by saying, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" What does it mean, the arm of the Lord? Jesus is the arm of the Lord. Jesus is the means by which God Almighty reached down into this race of humanity fallen in sin and depravity and saved us by His grace. Came through Jesus. So Jesus is the arm of God. God reached down into this earth to save us. But who has believed the report of the Lord? To whom is the arm of the Lord or Jesus revealed? This is maybe a very simplistic answer, but I'll tell you, those who have faith in God. People who do not have faith find no joy nor blessing in anything that I've just said. You might say, "What do you mean? There are people out there who have no faith?" Absolutely. How do I know that is true? Can I look into every heart and can I see as though there is a glass window over their heart? I look in there and I don't see any faith. Is that what I do in order to know that some people don't have faith? No. But I know some people don't have faith because this book says so. In fact, when Paul was writing his second letter to the church at Thessalonica, he wanted them to pray for him, that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified with him as it was with them. But he had a second prayer request. He says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. So Paul is saying, "I need your prayers as I preach God's word." But Paul said, "I'm going to be preaching where there's some people who will not believe it, and I need God's protection from those, because those folks sometimes will hurt you because they do not believe the Word of God and they do not believe in God, and some of them are adamant they do not want the gospel of our Lord to be proclaimed, and there are countries and places in this world today who would kill you in the blink of an eye unless you renounced your faith in Christ. They do not want to hear His name." So there are people who do not have faith. And Paul said, "I need to be delivered, for when I go to preach the Word of God, there's going to be some of them out there I'm going to encounter. And I need the blessing of God, lest they, in their wickedness, would try to stop me from preaching the Word of God." All men have not faith. So that explains it, brothers and sisters. That explains why people, and I'm talking about people who are living decent lives. I'm talking about people who hold down the job, and sometimes they're beneficial to others. I'm talking about people who are prospering in the things of the world, and sometimes very highly educated, very learned people that would put me in a little shadow over in the sidelines of humanity by the brilliance of their mind above mine. And yet they don't know why this world is here. They don't have any idea how it came about. I can tell them God created, they wouldn't believe it for a second. Why? They don't have faith in their heart. If you don't have faith, that explains why a person would not believe the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not all men have faith. And I can tell you this too. There's another verse that says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must, number one, believe that He is, and number two, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And that's in the great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrew 11, verse 6. In other words, without faith, if a person doesn't have faith now, not only do they not believe in God, not only do they not believe the Word of God, but they can't live a life that is really pleasing to God. Because a life that pleases God is a life that is lived by faith in God and trust in His Word. And if you don't have faith in God, or a person doesn't have faith in God, then they can't live a life that really pleases God. So faith is not found in the heart of every person. That's the first point I want to make today. And it explains why there are people all around us, otherwise very nice people. You might know some of them. Some of them might be in your family, mine. And you enjoy being around them, except for the fact that we do not share faith together. We have it and they don't. So that's why they don't believe in all the wonderful things that are taught in God's Word. So the gospel's preached. Those who do not have faith, doesn't matter here in America or wherever in this world, if there's no faith in the heart, they're not going to believe. And that's what he's saying. It was not mixed with faith, therefore it did not profit them that heard it. Now my second point today is that there are some people who do possess faith, and yet the gospel does not benefit that individual because they do not exercise their faith in receiving the Word of God. That's the second group of people. We say, well now, where does faith come from? Well, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And that's verses 22 and 23. So where do we get faith? Well, it's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. So faith has to come from God. And it is produced as fruit of the Holy Spirit, which means that if you're born again, which occurs when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and take up abode in you. And so when you're born again, because the Spirit of God has come to live in you and to lead you and to guide you and to bless you and to be a little bit of God in you, that Holy Spirit begins to change you and puts faith in you. And that's why we're called new creatures in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. See? The Holy Spirit gives us faith. Does it mean those people who don't have it now will never have it? No, it doesn't mean that, because the Lord might yet come to them one day by the Holy Spirit. One day, it could be in the 11th hour of life. I have no way to know. Only God knows His plans. But God could still come to them. But I'm moving on from those who don't have it to say there are those of us who do have it, and yet sometimes among the household of faith, there are those the word preached doesn't benefit them. Why? Because it is not embraced by faith. There's some things in this book you never will figure out on your own. The finite mind of man can never fully comprehend. This is the mind of God I'm talking about. We can't understand it all. Well, for example, I think this would be a good example. When I preach on tithing, and I preach about 10% of what you own or what God gives you belongs to God, and I tell you, you ought to give it to God, and you think about that would be a significant part of maybe your salary toward buying a car or a boat or something else that you wanted, and you think, well, if I give that money to God, then I can't afford these other things. What a person like that is doing is they're not receiving the Word of God with faith. Because you know what faith does? Faith says, that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to trust God to bless my other 90% where I'll be able to buy that boat or that car or whatever I need. You see, faith embraces the Word of God in things you cannot put in little packages in your brain because it's too big for that. You've got to just simply say faith is that God said it and I will believe it and live it and God will bless my life. That's faith, see. So sometimes people who say, well, I believe in God. Yes. I believe that Jesus Christ came and lived and walked on the earth. I believe He's the Savior of sinners. And I believe He's my Savior. But if that person doesn't respond to the Word of God on the level of faith and embrace it, it's not going to profit them.
not going to benefit them. The Word of God preached, received in minds and carried out in the world and tossed aside as the devil wants you to, will never benefit your life. It only benefits your life when the Word of God is preached and you take it on the basis of faith in God. If God tells me I need to try to do that, and that's the way I ought to live, and I'm going to do it with His grace and help, and then it blesses your life. Fruit of the Spirit. You remember that James, the apostle of our Lord, said, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And that's in James 2, verse 17. What does he mean by that? Faith, you know, without works is dead. Well, it means that here's the way it works. You got faith in your heart, and the Word of God commands something we ought to do, and faith lays hold on it and takes it to heart, and the fruit or the product of faith, receiving the Word of God, are the good works that are produced in our lives. So that's what he's talking about. Faith without works. In other words, if one person hears a sermon, says, that's not for me. That's for brother so-and-so over there. I know enough about him. No, that's who the preacher's talking to right now. He's not talking to me. I'm not guilty of that. That fellow goes home. He didn't embrace the Word of God with faith. He goes home. He doesn't do anything about the Word that's preached, so it doesn't benefit him. The brother that's sitting there and says, you know, God knows my heart. I can do better. I want to do better. And this is a way God is speaking to me and telling me to do better and how I can do better. And I'm going to embrace it in my heart, and I'm going to live it, because I've got faith that if God wants me to do it, He's going to help me do it. I'm going to tell you, that life will be blessed by the Word of God. That's why James says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What he means by that is, you can hear it preached, you can say, I don't need it. I wasted my time coming to church today listening to that sermon. It has nothing, no merit for me. I don't even know why I'm here today. And that's why a lot of times people stay away from church. They don't feel like they need it. They feel like, well, the preacher, he's just going to preach to somebody else today anyway. No need for me to bother to go. And so they don't go. Sometimes might account for a lot of vacant seats in the church house, when if they by faith would receive the Word of God and say, now there's something in that sermon that I needed, and that's why God put it on Brother Bill's heart. That's why he's preached it, and I need to figure it out. I need to know what it is God wants me to be doing, and by God's help, I'm going to receive it as His Word, and I'm going to obey His Word. It'll bless that life. And if you deceive yourself into thinking you don't need it, that's all you've done is deceive yourselves. Because God knows the truth. We all need His Word. So there are times when some people say, oh, I believe in God, and I believe the Bible to be true. I believe in creation, and I believe in grace, and I believe all that. But they don't think they need to live by His Word. Then that's the second category, is of people who would have faith, but they don't put it into practice. And therefore, it really doesn't benefit them very much. So that's the second group of people. Now, third group of people that I understand from this are the people who have faith in our hearts. And we use and exercise that faith in obedience to the Word of God. Now, I would say that is a very large segment of Christianity. I'm going to be more positive in my thinking and say that hopefully it's the majority of Christians who listen to the Word of God and take it on the basis of faith. You see, that's how a life begins to radiate Christian principles, is how people begin to see God and Christ in our lives. You know why? Because Hebrews 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can you see God? No. Except you can see God at work in a life. Can you see Christ? No, He's already ascended back into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But when you see someone who's committed their life to discipleship to Christ, and they're trying to be a follower of Christ, I'll tell you, on the basis of their faith, taking and embracing and living the Word of God, you will see Christ in them, the hope of glory. You can see what is otherwise invisible. You can see it. It becomes visible when you look at a person's life who is receiving the preached word on the basis of faith and carrying it out in their life and living it by faith in God. Then you can see that which is otherwise invisible becomes visible. And so this is the third group. This is the these are the people. The kind we all ought to want to be is a person who receives the word of God on the basis of faith and lives by faith in God and in Christ. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, the beginning of that verse is, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Did you know that little statement is found four times in the Bible? That is found in the Old and the New Testaments. I believe it's back. I think it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 in the Old Testament. I know in Romans 1, 17 it's found. In Galatians 3, 11 it's found. And in Hebrews 10, 38 it is found. Four times in the Bible it is said, the just shall live by faith. And that's what God requires of us. He put faith in our heart by the Holy Spirit so we could hear the preached word, not to toss it aside, not to turn and rebel against it and walk away from it, but by faith to embrace it to our heart and life and live it. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, when we do that, we will then be living what we call the victorious life in Christ. You know? We'll be living victorious over the world and all its temptations and all its sins and all the besetting habits of the world that would dishonor God. We can live apart from them and overcome them by His grace and His power because we have faith to believe that what God has taught us is true and we can obey it by His grace and help. In fact, the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, made a statement or a couple of statements. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. So he says, you know, that which is born of God. Well, what's that? Well, that's that inner man, that spiritual inner man. This, we're born again, and that's the new creature that comes forth. And so that's what's born of God. And that which is born of God can overcome the world. But how does we overcome the world? How do we gain the victory? We gain it by embracing the Word and living it. And so our victory that overcomes the world is our faith that embraces the Word of God. So, three kinds of people. Some who do not have faith at all. And therefore, all the things of this blessed and wonderful book mean nothing to them. They cannot believe it, cannot understand it, cannot embrace it. They do not possess faith. Number two, there are those who profess faith, but don't do much living by it. They want to live the way they want to live and not the way God wants them to live. So they kind of just lay all this Bible teaching aside and do what they want to do. Yet they say they have faith. They say they believe in God. But it's not going to do them any good. In neither of those cases will the Word of God profit those individuals. It will profit no more a saved person who will not live by it than it will profit an unsaved person who will not live by it. Will not profit either of those categories. It will profit those who do have faith, who are saved by God's grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb and born of the Spirit of God, and who, when the Word of God is preached, they mix their faith around it well and in it and throughout it, like you're mixing ingredients to make a cake. And they stir it in good, and then it comes to be lived and acted upon. And it blesses that life and it benefits them. It's profitable to us when we have heard the word and received it by faith. Now, I'm going to close with an illustration from the Bible. Most all of us remember a man. We just simply know him as the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a man of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, but he was a Jewish man by his faith, and he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship God on a holy day, and he was in journey back home. He had worshipped, apparently. He's going home reading from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. By the way, he was reading from Isaiah 53, because Acts chapter 8 tells us exactly what he was reading. And it's found in the 7th and 8th verses of Isaiah prophecy, chapter 53. But he doesn't understand it. And so he was wounded for our transgression. Who is he talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know who is talking, who is saying this. He's just really confused and he doesn't understand it all. But God said to Philip to go out and preach to him. And the Spirit of God led him out to that place in the wilderness where that man was riding in his chariot. And he comes up and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I, except some man should guide me?" And I'll tell you what the Bible says. His Bible said he got up in that. Philip got up in that chariot with him, began to explain what that was talking about. And it says he began and preached Jesus. Began at the same scripture and preached Jesus to him. He explained how Jesus was the one who'd come and die for sinners. He explained how his blood could wash away our sins. He explained Jesus to him. And this is kind of strange, really, when you think about it. Except that we know the Spirit of God is true and was working in the matter. This Jew wants to be baptized. My understanding is, yes, Jews were baptized, but this Jew is wanting Christian baptism. "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now listen to what Philip said. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And that's in 37th verse of Acts chapter 8. If you believe with all your heart, if you've got faith to grasp what I'm telling you, then yes, you can be baptized. They stopped the chariot. He baptized the man, who went on his way rejoicing. Did it benefit him any? Did it profit that man any to hear and believe the hope preached in Jesus and as a follower of Christ to follow him in baptism? Did it do anything for that Ethiopian eunuch? Yes, bless God, it did. He went home rejoicing all the way. That's what happens when faith embraces the Word and lives obedient to it. Brings joy and gladness to our hearts and lives, and blesses us in a greater way than earthly riches ever could. So remember this: the word preached, not mixed with faith, did not profit them that heard it. The opposite is equally true. The word mixed with faith will profit those who hear it. And may God bless it to your heart, is my prayer for Christ's sake.